Leacockery, the public domain parodies of Stephen Leacock. Episode 1. Q, a psychic story of the supernatural, per part 1.
I cannot expect that any of my readers will believe the story which I am about to narrate. Looking back upon it, I scarcely believe it myself. Yet my narrative is so extraordinary and throws such light upon the nature of our communications with beings of another world that I feel that I am not entitled to withhold it from the public. I had gone over to visit Annerley at his rooms. It was Saturday, October 31st. I remember the date so precisely because it was my payday, and I had received 6 sovereigns and 10 shillings. I remembered the sum so exactly because I had put the money into my pocket, and I remember into which pocket I had put it because I had no money in any other pocket. My mind is perfectly clear on all these points. Annerley and I sat smoking for some time. Then, quite suddenly,
"Do you believe in the supernatural?" he asked.
I started as if I had been struck. At the moment when Annerley spoke of the supernatural, I had been thinking of something entirely different. The fact that he should speak of it at the very instant when I was thinking of something else struck me as at least a very singular coincidence. For a moment, I could only stare.
"What I mean is," said Annerley, "do you believe in phantasms of the dead?"
"Phantasms?" I repeated.
"Yes, phantasms, or if you prefer the word, phanograms, or say, if you will, phanogrammatical manifestations, or more simply, psychophantasmal phenomena."
I looked at Annerley with a keener sense of interest than I had ever felt in him before. I felt that he was about to deal with events and experiences of which in the 2 or 3 months that I had known him he had never seen fit to speak. I wondered now that it had never occurred to me that a man whose hair at 55 was already streaked with grey must have passed through some terrible ordeal. Presently, Annerley spoke again.
"Last night, I saw Q," he said.
"Good heavens!" I ejaculated. I did not know in the least who Q was, but it struck me with a thrill of indescribable terror that Annerley had seen Q. In my own quiet and measured existence, such a thing had never happened.
"Yes," said Annerley, "I saw Q as plainly as if he were standing here. But perhaps I had better tell you something of my past relationship with Q, and you will understand exactly what the present situation is."
Annerley seated himself in a chair on the other side of the fire from me, lighted a pipe, and continued.
"When I first knew Q, he lived not very far from a small town in the south of England, which I will call X, and was betrothed to a beautiful and accomplished girl whom I will name M."
Annerley had hardly begun to speak before I found myself listening with riveted attention. I realized that it was no ordinary experience that he was about to narrate. I more than suspected that Q and M were not the real names of his unfortunate acquaintances, but were, in reality, 2 letters of the alphabet selected almost at random to disguise the names of his friends. I was still pondering over the ingenuity of the thing when Annerley went on.
"When Q and I first became friends, he had a favorite dog, which, if necessary, I might name Zed, and which followed him in and out of X on his daily walk."
"In and out of X," I repeated in astonishment.
"Yes," said Annerley, "in and out."
My senses were now fully alert. That Z should have followed Q out of X I could readily understand, but that he should first have followed him in seemed to pass the bounds of comprehension.
"Well," said Annerley, "Q and Miss M were to be married. Everything was arranged. The wedding was to take place on the last day of the year. Exactly 6 months and 4 days before the appointed day, I remember the date because the coincidence struck me as peculiar at the time, Q came to me late in the evening in great distress. He had just had, he said, a premonition of his own death. That evening, while sitting with Miss M on the veranda of her house, he had distinctly seen a projection of the dog R pass along the road."
"Stop a moment," I said. "Did you not say that the dog's name was Zed?"
Annerley frowned slightly.
"Quite so," he replied. "Zed, or more correctly Z.R., since Q was in the habit, perhaps from motives of affection, of calling him R as well as Zed. Well then, the projection, or phanogram, of the dog passed in front of them so plainly that Miss M swore that she could have believed that it was the dog himself. Opposite the house, the phantom stopped for a moment and wagged its tail. Then it passed on and, quite suddenly, disappeared around the corner of a stone wall, as if hidden by the bricks. What made the thing still more mysterious was that Miss M's mother, who is partially blind, had only partially seen the dog."
Annerley paused a moment. Then he went on.
To be continuated. The musical piece, Violin Part Scary.wav by Victor Natas, has been used under the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License.